Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
I was like, what do I got to do? And he's like, all you got to do is accept him. I was like, bet. After that, that's when the Lord flipped my life upside down. Literally the next week for school, I was getting in trouble in a good way. I was late to class because I was leading people to Christ. I was having Bible studies on my basketball team at the time. I mean, I just really kept fire, and it hasn't stopped. I mean, I've had my journey, obviously, like everybody does, but by the grace of God, he's kept me. And the reason why I'm here, I want to honor my mom, because she used to look out the window and pray for me when I was little. I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want God at all. But then God revealed himself to me and changed my life. So, now, fast forward to now, I'm a youth pastor at a City Central Church in Tacoma. So I live in Tacoma now. I kind of ran away from the call. I was playing basketball at the time, so I was playing in college, and I was planning to go overseas, so I was like, nah, I'm not finna be no pastor. I'm a hoop. And so God was like, no, you're not. And I was like, okay. So just, it's crazy. Does anybody know who William Booth is? Only a few people. William Booth was the founder of Salvation Army, as you've seen it. This is actually powerful. Was William Booth didn't really step out into what God was really calling him to do until his wife told him to stop. Basically, his wife, there was a meeting of pastors, and they were kind of just kind of like compromising on certain things in their city in London. And at this time, in this point of time, there was a lot of homelessness going on and all this different type of stuff. And what's powerful about that story is William Booth didn't really fully walk in his calling until his wife basically told him to stop being a punk and told him to man up. And then that's when he kind of got convicted. And then really he just started really an army of people that just was blessing the community, helping the homeless, really preaching the gospel, bringing the gospel to the community, and flip literally that city upside down. And I mean, you've probably seen it driving to different parts of Seattle of different Salvation Armies that are still here. That's because one person, or I should say his wife as well, their obedience to the call that was on their life. And so the title of my message is Devoted to the Good Fight. Devoted to the good fight. I know there's times where, you know, we want to give up. There's times where we want to just kind of compromise and just, I'm just going to kind of chill with my walk with Jesus. But I just want to provoke you as we go forward tonight. I want to pray, though. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that everything you want me to say comes forth, and everything that I would say that might be of the flesh or carnal will fall to the ground. Father, I pray that you would begin to open up the hearts of those that are hearing, that you would only do the wondrous work that I cannot do, and that's to change the human heart. God, I pray for any person that's not converted over, that they would be converted, Father. I pray that there would be that just that conversion time for them, that time where there's that upside-down period moment for them, that they would come to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, that you are good, that you are God alone on the throne. Father, be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to kind of read these statistics to you. The Gen Z generation, if you're not familiar, I think it's, if I'm getting the years right, is 1998 to 2010. That's the Gen Z generation. I read this statistic. It says, I'm a youth pastor, so that's probably, you know, one of the reasons why I'm saying this as well, but Gen Z generation will have 4% biblical worldview. That's what they say. 4%. 70% or more, I believe it's probably even more because I read this like 3 years ago. 70% or more of millennials at the age of 23 abandon their faith. And so you see all this kind of chaos. You see all this, all these statistics and all like everything that we could be facing, and it could be pretty much hopeless or really discouraged to continue in the faith because we see so many things going on in our world, and it kind of makes us want to just cave in and give up. But this is why I want to share this encouraging message to you. I want to continue with something, not just statistics, but also that I've heard from preachers. You can kind of hear it in the church. Maybe yourself, you've probably said it a million times to yourself in terms of giving up and whatnot. But amongst preachers, what I've heard with my own ears from other preachers, they would say this to me: "You're taking this too serious." That was the first thing. "You're taking it too serious." That's correct. The second one is a lot of times I'll cry while I'm preaching, so I want to give you a warning on that one. When you begin to pray according to God's will, He will answer immediately. I'm gonna be honest, I haven't prayed it recently, but a lot of times I ask God to break my heart. And when God breaks your heart, you're gonna know that He's breaking your heart. Okay. Anyway, this one pastor said to me one time that I cried, and I had no idea what was gonna happen. I was preaching at a church, and he said, "Jordan, I want to give you some feedback on how you did. You did really good, but you can't be crying behind the pulpit." And when I read those statistics, that only 4% will know who Jesus Christ is, let alone know what the Word of God says, and then 70% of people of my generation, millennials, is probably even more, abandon their faith at 23, that breaks my heart. You know what I'm saying? With people on drugs, that breaks my heart. That's why that video means so much to me. That's not just like a show or a movie. Like, that literally breaks my heart to see lost people. While the church, we kind of just chill and we have the light inside of us instead of sharing it. But I want to provoke you. So the question on the floor is, are you striving or are you thriving? Or are you cruising? Now, this message is for me as well, so don't think I'm standing on this pulpit like, yeah. I wanted to share this story with you. Mike Tyson, anybody heard of Mike Tyson? Everybody. So Mike Tyson, he had this trainer, you know. His trainer was Cus, C-U-S, that was his trainer. So Cus was a trainer for Mike Tyson, okay? He wasn't just a trainer, he was also a father figure for Mike Tyson. So I was literally watching this like a few weeks ago, that Mike Tyson got trained by this dude named Cus, brought him from, I'm pretty sure I might butcher it, but I think it might be Brownsville, New York. Now that's like the project. So Cus, a white guy from the suburbs, takes this kid from the hood, takes him under his wing and has him live with him, and he trains him with boxing, right? So Mike was already boxing, but he took him to another level by training him. Now, he didn't just train him, he fed him. He made him do chores. He made him build character. He made him just as if it was his own son, right? He began to encourage Mike Tyson. He began to speak life into him. Whenever they were boxing, whenever they were not boxing, while he was training him, he would just say, basically, "You're a beast. You're good. Keep going." Just speak a life into him. Mike Tyson had an interview. He said, "I didn't know what Cus was doing, but when I got older, I seen what he was doing. He was building up my self-confidence." So the reason why we can talk about Mike Tyson the way that we do, or that we can even have a chance to tell his story, is because he had another person stand in the gap for him to speak life into him. And because the real reason why Mike Tyson is such a beast is because he was made behind the scenes with his trainer, with his father figure, right? So during this course of his career, he was a beast, right? And then he started to fall downward because of the people he was surrounded with. As soon as Cuss died, that's when things started to fall apart. Because he no longer had that father figure to keep him in line, right? And so there's so many spiritual teachings out of that, but I kind of want to pertain it to our walk with Jesus. That the people in this room that have been adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ, that have been set apart and saved, you are now in the God's family, those that are in Jesus. He gives you a new identity. He gives you a family. He gives you a place to be. He gives you an identity. He speaks life to you through his word. And the reason why Mike Tyson was so strong and knew that he was a beast is because of what he received from his father. And so every time we feel discouraged or we feel like we need to give up, that's when we must draw strength from the Lord. That's when we must get in the word. And so I wanted to share this verse with you. I don't know if it's going to pop on the screen, but it's Philippians 2, 5 through 11. If you can turn there, if you have your Bible. You should have your Bible, because you don't know if I'm saying nothing twisted up here. You know? Let me see. Everybody all good? Before I get into this, the part that rocked me the most about Mike Tyson's story is that when he began to go downward with his life, it was because of his surroundings, because of the distractions he gave into, the people he began to kick it with, associate with, that brought him downward. And he had no explanation for what was happening. It was just kind of all happening at once for him, which was a tragedy. There it is. 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, it's powerful, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The part that struck me, I'm not really going to touch on it a lot more, but it says that at the name of Jesus, like, let alone his presence, you know, so many people in the Old Testament, especially, knew a little bit, people falling out because of God's presence, because he's so holy. But this says his name, just his name, that people are going to bow down to him. Even the people that say that they don't believe in him, some people that deny him, that when they begin to hear his name, they're going to bow. They're going to bow. Which is crazy. And so what I want to paint in this part of what Paul is saying is that we need to draw strength from Jesus, because he's going to give us that strength that we need, right? There's times where, if I'm honest, I don't even want to read the word sometimes. I don't want to pray. Why? Because there's this war within me that does not want to read this word, that does not want to pray, if I'm completely honest. And this is why I'm saying this is a fight that we are to fight. And so the first thing is that we have war with our flesh, that we have to fight the things of our flesh. And the same way with Mike Tyson, any athlete, any warrior, it starts with your mind. When you study all these athletes and warriors, it starts with here. Why is Mike Tyson a beast and everybody steps in a ring and they already know they're going to take an L? Is because Mike Tyson is already trained here, and everything else he's going to do is just going to be easy money. Anything that we do has to start with the mind. And this is why Paul starts with the mind. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is why I'm saying when you're fighting, you have to make sure that the word is entering your mind, because the enemy is constantly coming at your mind with thoughts of depression. Some of the thoughts that you think are not even your thoughts. I don't know if you knew that. That sometimes the enemy comes in and he's going to throw things at you, and you're going to think some certain way. That those are not all your thoughts, but we're supposed to take those thoughts captive. So the beautiful thing about what we have, or the beautiful thing about what we have in the faith, is if we believe it, and also if we know it, that we have access to things. Okay, and God has given us access to not just survive or cruise or, oh, I'm doing well, brother. I'm doing all right. You know, I mean, you gotta be honest. You know, sometimes you're stressing or you're going through something. I mean, I hit up Marquise. We'll pray or we'll talk. I'll chop it up if I'm going through stuff. But ultimately, we could thrive in this. I don't know if you ever heard that message before, but you can thrive following Jesus. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. You know, I'm talking about you could literally thrive in your walk with Jesus. So, turn to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24-27. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run but receive the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should not be disqualified. So Paul is speaking again. He's talking about striving for the crown. That was the question. Are you striving? Are you cruising? Are you striving? Are you just kind of chilling? Because he says right here, it's a race. I heard another preacher say, he just said, Jordan, you're ambitious. I was like, I'm just trying to be obedient. Real talk. When you read this, he says, it's a race. When you think about, I love that Paul gives the analogy of athletes. When you think about LeBron, when you think about Usain Bolt, you think about all these athletes, man, they're waking up, they got a schedule, they're on it, they're ready to go because they're working towards something. And we need to hear more messages on rewards in heaven, because there's something that we need to be doing on earth in order to get those rewards in heaven. Not that we just want to just get rewards, but there's some action, there's some movement, there's some racing, there's some training, there's some discipline that we need to be walking in to experience greater things in eternity. And even having those crowns that in Revelation, that I pray that you guys would have crowns as well stored up in heaven so you can throw some things at the Lord's feet. Yeah. Amen. So God is calling us to run this race to give him glory. And he gives us, I love God because he gives us the answers. He's not like, hey, serve me. Hey, serve me, bro. Serve me. Like he gives you instructions on how he wants it to be done. Paul says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. I love Paul because he keeps it real. He doesn't go into detail what he's battling, but he's like, I discipline my body, because if I don't, I'm going to be disqualified. If I don't discipline my body in the spirit, if I'm not reading, if I'm not checking in with somebody to keep me accountable, if I'm not meditating and memorizing on the word, if I'm not praying, I'll be disqualified. So Paul's saying, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should not be, should become disqualified. Turn to 1 Timothy 6. verse 12. In this part, Paul is talking to Timothy. He's saying, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It's amazing because Paul says, he doesn't just say fight the fight. He says fight the good fight of faith, that this fight is worth fighting for. What motivates me oftentimes in the midst of fighting, in the midst of knowing that one day I'll stand before Jesus Christ for my own life, not my mama or my daddy or this person over here or Pastor so-and-so. What draws me a lot of times is my family. What a lot of times what causes me to fight the good fight of faith is thinking about other people, the future people that I might have an opportunity to disciple. Right? Because God wants to use us in his kingdom. And so what's beautiful about that is that when we begin to fight the good fight of faith, what we're telling God is, I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. I'm going to pick up my shield of faith and fight against the enemy. Right? And not only that, set an example for those that are watching. You ever seen somebody, you know, maybe even somebody, I'll just say Mike Tyson, since we're talking about it. If somebody up, say it's a skinny dude that walks up to Mike Tyson in a ring and knocks him out, that's going to give you some hope. You know what I'm saying? That's going to give you some hope. And so when you begin to see other believers stand up in the faith and do the things that God has called them to do, man, that causes you to be like, oh, I could do that too. Not comparison, I'm trying to compete, but I see you being obedient. I'm going to be obedient in what God's calling me to do. You know what I'm saying? And so oftentimes we can, you know, it's easy to get discouraged in the midst of it. But Paul is saying, man, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. That this is a faith walk, not a cakewalk. 2 Timothy 4:7. Take you to 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul pretty much says the same thing again. And he's talking to Timothy. Paul's about to be poured out as a drink offering. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So Paul mentions again, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. He says, I have fought the good fight again. It wasn't in that moment in time. He said it again, that we are to fight the good fight of faith. And I'm glad that I have an opportunity. I'm glad that even you, those that are in Jesus, that we get to fight the good fight of faith, that we get an opportunity to run this race. And I remember when we were worshiping that it's amazing that God would, you know, I'm going to bring it back on me, that I'm amazed that God chose me. Like sometimes I'm like, man, I'm blown away that I know the Lord, that he's opened my eyes and that I have the chance to fight the good fight of faith. And it's not easy. I mean, duh, like Paul says, fight. It's a fight. You think about a fight, that's not easy, you know? But what keeps on speaking to me more and more is not only fighting the good fight, but also finishing the race. Continue to endure, continue to keep pressing, continue to keep fighting, continue to pray and read your word. Don't feel like God's not hearing you, God's not there. Those things might come, but keep pressing. And even Paul, he says it in Philippians, we won't turn there, but he says, I press towards the prize, forgetting the things behind me. Not even just failures, but successes, that I'm going to keep pressing towards Jesus. Amen? And even though that in the world is constantly throwing things at us to distract us. And that was a beautiful thing that I got from Mike Tyson's story, is that a lot of the things weren't even in the ring that messed him up. It was outside of it that distracted him from what he was doing. So just because someone starts off well doesn't mean that they will end well. And just because you've fallen or you made a mistake doesn't mean that God can't mightily use you to the end. A lot of people, they're just dreading on the past and things that they were struggling with before. But I'm thankful by the grace of God, things that I've done, things that I've been through, that God still is using me today. And God will do that for you. You just have to learn to fight. And that's the beautiful thing about the gospel. To not only preach God's word, but to live his word and defend it. And the only way you can defend and live and preach it is if you're in it. You're in the fight. You're pressing towards what God's calling you to do. Amen? So please don't give up. Think about the young people. Think about those statistics. Think about the Gen Z generation. Think about people in your own family that don't know Jesus. Think about people's lives that could be changed. I remember my mom told me, my other cousin, his name is Jordan as well, and he gave his life to Christ. He started following Jesus. But I've been praying for that man for years, you know? And so the enemy wants to knock the fight out of us, you know? He's like, okay, I can't stop you from this. Let me stop this right here. And then boom, you're just kind of, you feel like you're stuck. And so you stop fighting. He's like, yes, that's what I need. Because the prayers of the saints limit Satan. The prayers of the saints move God's hand on whatever those matters are. And even though that we don't see those things manifested, doesn't mean that God is not moving. And so I'm just thankful that God is calling us to something greater and something higher. And it all starts with our mind. That's why we have to stay in the Word of God. And I'm a read this last verse. It's in Romans 12. Okay. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants you to know his will for your life. It may not look the same as someone else, but God is wanting you to know what he's called you to do. I wish we heard a lot of sermons or preachings when we first got saved that you're not supposed to just get saved. Like, God set you apart for a reason. He saved you for a reason to walk in your purpose and your calling. That he's made you the way he's made you for his glory and a purpose. You're not supposed to just be saved and that's it. Just chill in the pew and be like, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I just wanted to encourage you guys with that word. And I just wanted to say thank you, man, just for opening up the opportunity. And I wanted to share this story. This was in 2015. I didn't know I was going to even show or share this to this degree. In 2015, something had happened in my life. There's something that I did that wasn't good. And I remember I was sitting down with one of my mentors after I was done playing basketball in school. I was about to, you know, I was in Florida at the time and I was coming back here to get ready to play overseas. I had an opportunity to play. The first season I was going to play was in Luxembourg. And so I had an opportunity to play over there. And I came back in 2015 back home. And I remember, I don't think she's here, but I remember laying down in my auntie's basement where I was staying temporarily. And I was on the ground in the dark. And by this time, I was kind of like done with basketball. Anybody that knew me, especially my mom, she knew that basketball was my bread and butter. That you couldn't tell me nothing. Like I was hooping. And I called my mom this eventually happened throughout the summer of 2015. It didn't just happen right away, but I called my mom and I said, Mom, I'm done playing. And she thought I had cussed her out. She was like, excuse me? I was like, nah, I'm really done. Like, for real. I can't even believe I'm saying it, but I'm saying it. I'm done. And then after that moment, you know, when she heard the news, I just put basketball down. What happened, though, was I kind of paint the picture, the analogy or the example of like Space Jam, when all the hoopers lost all their talents and they just sucked. They weren't good no more. That's what happened to me. But obviously my talents and all that stuff was there. But all the passion, all the lifting, all the training, all the extra hours, all the waking up early, grinding, whatever, putting up shots, it just left me. It was like a vacuum. And I had no explanation for it. And by that time, I felt like a failure in those moments, because I was like, man, I worked hard all the way up until this point of, you know, playing and hooping. And what really opened my eyes is what God was actually doing through that. I probably could have kept hooping. I don't feel like God did all that. I mean, he probably allowed certain things, but I remember I was sitting down with my pastor and I was telling him everything, and he was like, that sounds a little bit like my story. And I was like, man, I don't know what to do. But then I thought about that moment when I started to follow Jesus, and up until that point, all the way through college, what I was doing besides basketball. And I was always having Bible studies with my teammates. I was always like bringing people to my church. I was, there's even a moment where God told me to stand up in my cafeteria and preach the gospel. I just had all these radical encounters that God was, what was some of the things that God was calling me to do that I had no idea that God was actually calling me and has created me, fashioned me to be specifically a pastor. And much more than that, that's not like my identity, but I had no idea that that's what God was doing. And so I did a church internship, fast forwarding a year later, moved back home, and really just trying to find my way. So I was pretty much like a full-time evangelist. I was traveling through Seattle preaching, going to the clubs and the bars, and just really walking in what I thought I was hearing from God. Which I was hearing from God. But during that time, a year later from that time, I moved to Atlanta. Now that was like totally crazy. And so I moved to Atlanta. Some of the things that God was calling me to do, I was afraid. So I was like, man, I'm bouncing. I'm about to pull a Jonah real quick. And so I moved all the way to Atlanta, and I was living down there, and I was at a specific church over there. And I just knew that God was not calling me specifically, geographically, to Atlanta. And so I moved from Atlanta because God told me when I was in the cabana, he was like, go back. And I was like, woo, let me fly on back. And I was only there for 3 months. So I left there. I came back home, and I literally cried out the whole month of March 2017. I just said, all right, God, if you're calling me to do this, I pray that you provide for me to just walk in my calling. I grow in my character. I do the things you're calling me to do, and I'm not going to look back. I literally pray that every day of that month, and literally God just made a way. I had no idea. I had some plans of what I was going to do, but he scratched them, and I had no problem with it. And, you know, the church that I'm at now, actually, he's here, one of the youth pastors, Pastor John right there with the beanie on. When I moved to Tacoma, God literally moved me to Tacoma. That's crazy in itself. Moved to Tacoma. And after that, I had a pastor from up north. He was like, hey, man, we want a multi-ethnic church. We want you to be the youth pastor. Come through. And I was like, man, I'm not leaving. I'm staying right here. I'm done moving. Like, I know God wants me to be here because he led me here. And so I stayed, and that was a Monday he had called me. That Thursday, Pastor John asked me, he's like, we've been watching you for, you know, 3-4 months since you've been here. We want you to be the youth pastor, one of the youth pastors. So I'm the middle school youth pastor. And I was like, yes, out of obedience. So if you're in here and you know that you're running from God, if you know that some of the assignments, the things that he's calling you to do, you're intimidated, you're fearful, you're whatever, you care what other people think, fear of man, whatever it may be, do what he's calling you to do. Walk in God's will for your life. Don't retreat. Continue to be devoted to fight, because God has a purpose for you. He has a calling for you. So don't run, whoever you are. That's why I wanted to share that story, because I felt like somebody in here is going through that right now. So can I pray real quick? Dear Lord, I just thank you for tonight. God, I pray that, God, that you would break our hearts. You would break my heart, God, for our family members, for our community, for people that are lost, that are down and out, God. God, I pray that you would give us, God, I pray that you would give us that fight to keep going, that fight and that perseverance to keep pressing. Give us seeds of encouragement in our secret time with you, our secret place with you, Father. When we come to worship you, God, that things begin to fall away. Anybody that's dealing with depression, pray that you will help them right now, Father. Anybody that's suicidal, God, I pray that you will help them, God. Any suicidal thoughts, I pray that you would help them, Father. I pray that you release your healing virtue to people that need healing in the name of Jesus. People that aren't saved, I pray that you'll open up their blinded eyes that they may see in Jesus' name. God, help us. We ask for the fear of you. The fear of you to walk in the obedience that you are calling us to, Lord. That we would not leave anything untapped. That we would leave everything that you've called us to on the floor, on the floor before us, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.